Welcome to Discover Barnstable, the official podcast of the Town of Barnstable, a podcast where you can meet the people who steward the programs and services that connect us to our quality of life here in the Town of Barnstable. We invite you to join the conversation as we navigate municipal government and our community pathways to help you discover Barnstable. I'm Paula Hersey, and today I'm joined with guest Assistant Director of Public Works, Rob Steen, and Town Engineer, Griffin Boyden, as we explore the week's topic of discussion of the Comprehensive Wastewater Management Plan, or CWMP, because that's what it's called. If you see those letters, we're talking about wastewater, folks. Welcome to the show, Griffin, Rob. Really, really great to have you here, and a whole lot of information to go through. Don't worry, listeners, we will have them back. So we're going to get dived right into it, because what is the Comprehensive Wastewater Management Plan, and why is it important?
So I'll take it. This is Rob. So the Comprehensive Wastewater Management Plan, the CWMP, as you said, basically what that is the state came up with a framework a decade or so ago called CWMPs to sort of deal with wastewater planning. And what that was really in relationship to was that communities would look at individual projects and not look comprehensively at the total community. So it came up with a framework that has four stages to it, or four steps to it, and ask communities to do that. In our context, what it is it's our wastewater plan looking at how we deal with the nutrient problems that we have currently in the embayments, really the saltwater embayments. However, when we did the plan, we also looked at things such as freshwater ponds. We looked at wellhead protection, environmental issues, and other than those, economic issues were looked at, things of that nature. So it's really a plan that's meant to look at wastewater issues in a very broad lens, and then from that, come up with solutions, evaluate those solutions, those get translated into plans and CIP programs and projects, and we go from there.
So CIP, for folks who don't know, is Capital Improvement Projects.
We're the acronym kings.
DPW
Between my military background and this, you're going to get acronyms out of the years.
Exactly. So there's a lot of tools that are going to be utilized to implement this plan, Griffin. And a couple of the things, as Rob's already touched upon, is that you're looking at as a total a plan for the entire town and every body of water, really. It's all about water. So give us a synopsis of what those tools are and how you plan to utilize them.
Right, yeah. So as the plan title suggests, you know, we're trying to manage wastewater, right? So the traditional means to do that is through sewers and wastewater treatment. So our plan's pretty heavily focused on expanding sewers in the town. About 190 miles of new sewers in the town, about 12,000 new sewer connections in the town in order to deal with the nutrient issues in the various embayments. We're also looking at incorporating other solutions, such as we call them non-traditional solutions. Those can range from dredging to innovative alternative septic systems to aquaculture. Just various other ways to remove nutrients from the environment. There's also ways to deal with this with smart zoning, right? So obviously areas that are having environmental issues, we want to make sure that we're not overpopulating those areas. So that's something that will be looked at as part of the planning effort as well.
So just to pick up on that, so one of the things that this plan does with the non-traditionals and traditionals is that it also incorporates sort of the freedom of adaptive management. And what I mean by adaptive management is that, as you know, it's a 30-year plan. So obviously that's a long duration plan, and technology will change, town philosophies will change, regulations will change, et cetera, will change over that time. So as things change and adapt and come onto the scene for the wastewater front, the plan is flexible enough that we are able to grab those kind of things and incorporate them. So every 5 years, we have to go back to DEP and go, okay, here's what the current 5-year snapshot looks like. Here's what we're thinking the next 5 years will bring. And we can at that point say, there's this wonderful new fill in the blank, whatever that is. We now want to incorporate that into the plan. Here's how it goes. This is what comes out. This is what goes in. This is how it all still makes it work, et cetera. So there's a lot of flexibility in that sense. We're not hamstrung, particularly in that place.
Right. And we talk a little bit about the total maximum daily load, and that's really kind of what the measurement, the analytic is for, is this a success and how this happens. So give me a little understanding of what that TMLD really does. Is that
TMDL?
Yeah, right?
We're having fun here. This
We're
is
pretty good
this
at acronyms, right? Yeah.
You hang with us a little bit, you'll be better at it. Trust
right,
us.
Exactly.
It's an adaptive thing.
Right. But give me an understanding, and our listeners, like, what does that mean? How is that measured? Will it be measured through the next 30 years?
So TMDL is total maximum daily load. Right. Effectively what that is, it's a way to sort of make a pollution budget for a water body. So DEP has come up with what they call sentinel stations in all of our water bodies, which are areas where they're measuring to be representative of the entire water body. And what they have done is said, okay, what are the nutrient levels at the sentinel stations? They've then taken and done land use modeling with SMAST, out of which is UMass Dartmouth, effectively, and looked at, okay, where do we need to be in terms of those nutrient levels at that sentinel station for that water body to be quote unquote healthy? And I'm making air quotes with my fingers here for those of you that can't see. So that way we can say, look, if we can achieve this much nitrogen removal, then we expect this water body to be healthy. So the TMDL is really sort of the goal of the plan, to be able to get to that water body to be a healthy water body. Our job, once the TMDLs were established, was to say, okay, utilizing all those tools Griffin talked about, how do we get nutrient levels down to those levels that are necessary? And so we came up with plans. They went back to SMAS. They got modeled by SMAS to say, will they achieve this? Will they not achieve this? Turns out, like, for instance, for the three bays, we had to do like two or three iterations on that because the first pass didn't make it happen. And all of a sudden people are like, well, wait a minute. How did this all of a sudden get into the plan? Well, the reason why it got in the plan is because the first pass, it didn't work. So that's what the TMDL is. That's the target we're going for. That's what we're trying to get to, which will, in theory, make that water body a healthy water body, which in our case means eelgrass will grow, et cetera.
Yeah, and to build on that, every year in the summer, our staff goes out and we take measurements for various water quality parameters in the embayments in order to have that background information so that we can see progressively the water quality improve as we implement these projects, or on the other end, go in the other way and then see if there's something we need to do to adapt accordingly. And that's so how we're tracking the water quality changes in the environment.
And we're lucky that we've been doing that. The town had to do that for 3 years as part of the initial MEP report. It elected to continue that process after that. Many towns didn't. What that's given us now is almost 20 years of sort of background data. So we have a pretty good baseline at this point on our water bodies and are excited to see as projects start to be implemented. You have to account for travel time, and that I'm sure is a whole nother podcast we can talk about. But are excited to see, when do we start to actually see that input? When do we see that fingerprint come through? Right. So we know what's going on.
And of course, you know, perfect segue, Rob, implementation, right? So it's orange cone season here in the town of Barnstable. It's always going to be orange cone season here in the town of Barnstable for the next 30 years, folks. Yep. So let's talk about implementation. We're coming up into the fall. You know, this is the prime time from fall through next spring to get some of these projects underway. We've had one so far. Give us an understanding of where we're at in implementation.
Yeah, so we're in about year two of our 30-year plan at this point. The plan's 30-year plan, as you mentioned, three 10-year phases for the total of 30 years. We'll be looking at each phase at the midway point at 5 years and reevaluating the phases to see if we need to modify project areas or, to Rob's point, technology has changed to the point that we should be looking at managing these issues in a different manner. But relative to the projects that are ongoing, we have two projects that are active. We have our Strawberry Hill Road sewer expansion project, which ironically enough will be on Finney's Lane this fall. That's about, you know, a little over 50 to 60% of the way done. Made good progress this past fall and spring on that project. We're also kicking off our Route 28 East sewer expansion project, which will install a new sewer pump station at the intersection of Route 28 and Finney's Lane. That's really going to be one of the foundational pieces of infrastructure for the project. Effectively, everything that goes, every bit of wastewater we collect further to the west of that site will go through that station and be conveyed back to the plant. So an important project that we're excited about kicking off as we speak. They're starting the excavation work over there, I'm sure. Folks have driven by and seen the large crane, and yep. and that's what's going on over there. So
great. There's lots of ways that we'll talk at the end about how people can find out where that construction is going to happen and how to get updates on that. But I do want to kind of touch on what happens if we don't continue with this project. And it's not a loaded question. It's really something where, you know, we talk about 30 years. We talk about a $1 billion project. Administrations change, counselors change, technology changes, those kinds of things. Is there a point in time that this project ends, or what happens if it doesn't get finished?
So I think you brought three questions in there.
Yeah. Okay. The one question. So what happens if we don't continue?
So let me go from the beginning. Yeah. So there's sort of really two macro answers to that. The first is there'll be there's a regulatory piece to this. So regulatorily, if we do not uphold what the CWMP claims it will do, either because we choose not to or the CWMP fails, then the regulators, I'm sure, will come back and revisit with us the need to make these water bodies healthy. There's a legal piece to that, and as you know, there's been lawsuits and things of that nature, and I would assume that if we do not do our due diligence and do what we said we're going to do, people potentially would sue us. That aside, there's an environmental impact to that. You know, the if you remember 3-4 years ago now that Three Bays had a bloom and you know, there was a real issue there and stuff. Those will become more and more frequent with time. And so if we don't take this on and do this now, it doesn't go away. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. And we end up passing it to my kids and Griffin's kids and all of our children to have to deal with. And it becomes harder successfully the more we go forward because more and more homes are being built, more and more Title V septic systems are being put in, more and more things that are not necessarily healthy are productive for the system is going on.
Right. Let's get to the what folks really kind of want to know is...
Can I bang my head on the mic?
Yeah. When am I going to be sewered? Yeah. There's a number of ways that people can get information about the CWMP, about what phase they're in, because it is three phases in 10-year increments of phase 1, 2, and 3, right? On the table.
Come on now.
So give us an indication and kind of like the synopsis of how people are getting information. Can they, you know, get to a website? Can they find information from DPW? Can they make a phone call? How's it work, Griffin?
Yeah, sure. So the website's probably the first best place to stop. It's got all the relevant information on it. Starting with the initial plan, how we developed the plan, all the details of the plan in there. If you really want to read through the 200 plus pages of the plan, by all means, I would love to hear that because we wrote it, but you know, I understand not everybody's going to want to. There's maps on there that show, you know, where parcels, which parcels are in which phase, and phase one is further broken out into specific projects. You can utilize the town's assessor's parcel lookup as well. You can go onto there and click on your parcel and you can see I'm in phase one, phase two, or phase three. Doesn't specifically give you the date because those are all, as we talked about, adaptive and changing as we develop projects, but it gives you an idea of where you are. And then at that point, if you feel you need a little bit more detail, obviously feel free to give us a call. We regularly are answering those questions for our residents and getting into a lot of detail. So we're happy to do that, and that's really the best way to get the highest level of detail relative to, okay, when can I really expect to be needing to hook up the sewer?
Okay, and I just want to remind folks, the website is www.barnstablewaterresources.com. There is a sign up for Community Currents, which is the newsletter dedicated to water. And this isn't just going to solve just the embayment problems. We've looked at it as a total solution. You know, we talk about cyanobacteria and some of the stormwater challenges that we're having. You know, what goes down the drain ends up in our water, whether it's your pond down the street or your boat ramp down at Prince Cove. It's all ending up in our water, and it can affect our drinking water as well. So there's an enormous amount of, I think, understanding that we have to tackle and solve this problem. So kudos to writing the plan. I know it was a tough plan to write. And any last words you want to give our listeners about understanding the CWMP?
It is a long conversation that, as you said, we'll be having ongoing and continuing. There's a lot to it. Don't try to digest it all at once. We had an interview yesterday with a Barnstable resident over a position that we have. That it was interesting just talking to them about, okay, what do you know about the CWMP and getting their feedback? And it feels like some of it's beginning to settle into people, but there's a lot to it. And don't be discouraged if you can't wrap your head around all of it. Just ask. And we are continuing to add resources to try to facilitate that process, the sort of ombudsman-y slash communication person to be able to have a conversation with. It's not us as engineers who tend to speak in acronyms, as we mentioned earlier, but that can actually speak English and convey to you what's going on in a way that's somewhat digestible.
All right, so we're going to move away from wastewater into the really fun part of the podcast. Because, well, that actually was really fun, let me tell you. I love talking wastewater. You know that, right? But we have some rapid-fire questions for you. And I'm going to each of you will answer these questions. So right off the bat, Griffin, what's your favorite time of day?
Let's say dinner.
And Rob, what's your favorite time of day?
Do we get recess anymore?
Unfortunately, you don't let me get recess. You don't let me get recess. No.
I wish we'd recess.
Recess, okay. Rob, what was your first concert?
I didn't go to a lot of concerts, so probably my mom, who was working at a Portland Symphony Orchestra concert, drugged me to something like that. I guess, maybe.
Let's hope you're a little cooler, Griffin. What was your first concert?
Cool over here. I'm telling you right now. I'm a wastewater guy.
I think it was probably a Dave Matthews Band concert.
Hey, yeah. See, I knew you were cool. Yep.
So but the problem is, all the younger people listening to this have no clue who that is anymore. That'd be like saying Elvis.
No. Right. And how about this one, Rob? What's your favorite place in Barnstable?
Well, my grandparents lived here, so I spent a lot of time on Blantyre and Danaskin and Long Pond. So there, or maybe Beechwood Cemetery.
Okay.
You know, obviously, other than my wonderful office, I'd probably say Craigville Beach.
Excellent. Thanks for spending time with us and listening to Discover Barnstable, the official podcast of the town of Barnstable. We hope you found a new understanding of how your municipal government works to protect, engage, and enact for you and our community. Be sure to drop us a line at podcast@town.barnstable.ma.us and let us know what you would like to learn next. Till next time, go discover Barnstable.